All right, and we are live. Movies Digest return.
That's the pre-show, guys. If you missed it, sorry, that's gone now.
The last word, Lord Cognito, Evontis, Ty Guy, Travis, fresh on that Thursday evening campfire. Lots to talk about. Evontis, the cheetah, how we doing, sir? What's been going on with you?
Doing good. You joked about movies, but honestly, I could do a movie podcast and talk about so many movies.
You're built for that.
I love movies. I actually saw Civil War, the one that just came out, not the Marvel one, the one that just came out. I'm not going to, the plot is...
Here it's good.
It is actually quite good because it is... I saw it in IMAX and the sound is just like, damn. Very fitting for those moments to a point where, it takes place during a Civil War in the United States in kind of a modern era. They don't go into the plot. They don't go into who sides on who. They just kind of... More, it's told from a different perspective than you would expect. Sorry.
No, you're good.
Midnight's
you're
good. Out there in the hallway.
Yeah, I get midnight.
It's just told from a very different perspective. Man, it was just visceral. There's one scene in it that is just hair on standing up on the back of your neck. But it is just very well shot, very well done, cinematically. And man, that's one of those that if you see it, it's just you walk out of there and going... Yeah, it just sits heavy when you're done, but it's just very well shot, very well made. It's Alex Garland, if you know some of the other stuff he's done, 28 Days Later, I think, Ex Machina. No.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Was he 28 Days? No, I think it was Ex Machina and...
Oh, okay.
I'm probably getting two things confused, but it's just a really well-made movie, and then it's also, the ending, I'm sure it'll be a little bit divisive, but as you go through it, it just kind of, it shows the perspective of something... Most people wouldn't imagine, but it is something that a lot of people probably should see because of how real it makes things that a lot of people...
This is a movie podcast now.
Yeah, we definitely...
Anyway, I saw that over the weekend. I saw Spider-Man on Monday, 2002 Spider-Man. They're re-releasing them with the Sony ones.
The Sony ones.
So the Tobey Maguire 2002.
It's a Thanksgiving movie. Certified Thanksgiving movie.
That's in there. That's right.
That's the movie you watch at Thanksgiving Day.
For sure. The funny thing about that, I like cars, some of you may or may not know. I'm a big car fanatic. But it was so funny because of all the different things in the movie, you got a little bit of cheesy CGI when he's doing a couple things. You got a couple cheesy lines because it's the first one. It is
Sam Raimi. He loves his camp.
Yeah, yes. I mean, it's in there, but I was that was all totally fine. That still fit. But it was the fact that Flash Johnson, the car that he got was the Plymouth Prowler. And I guarantee you half of the people listening to this don't even know what the hell that car is.
Probably me.
Yep. Go look it up. It is the Plymouth Prowler. And it is the fact that car was the hot item for him to get in that movie dated it so fast for me. I was oh, man. And it was actually funny because Kirsten Dunst is in Civil War and she's also in.
Yes.
Spider-Man, so that was actually kind of a funny thing to go to. So saw those two, and then
which one is she better in?
I can't remember right now.
Probably the modern one, just because of she kind of embraces her character that who's just been through some stuff.
My favorite thing to come out of the original Spider-Man is obviously the memes. I'm something of a scientist myself.
Yes,
but I think my favorite one is at the very end of the movie where she says lie to me or whatever, or tell me the truth or whatever. And then he says something that it shows her crying a single tear. Have you guys seen that meme format where it's somebody saying
it's probably
they
been
don't
a minute
hear or whatever.
Probably been a minute. Yeah.
That's probably funny.
The memes from that movie are top notch.
But one I'm looking forward to is I bought two tickets. I want to go see some of the older ones, but Spider-Man 2 next week, I'm taking my wife. Cause that's of those three. That's the good one. It's Doc Ock.
That's the one where he goes on the front of the train, right?
Yeah, I was actually trying to remember which scene that was. I was I think that's got to be two, because that's also a really cool scene.
That's two, yeah.
Legendary.
Have you guys seen the version? Somebody made a version of that where his limbs start coming off.
I think I seen that, yeah.
I might have actually seen that. I think I might have seen that.
It is one of those clips that once you see it, you will never be able to watch that movie again.
Yeah, it hit different.
It's so horrifying.
Yeah, that's going to be messy. So anyways, movies aside, since this is not a movie podcast, but that's all of our fault, I'm pretty sure.
I'm probably on the opposite side of you, E. I used to be a big movie guy, but I do so much with video games now that I kind of just don't see
any I've movie. Dropped off. I would love to probably see a lot more than I even do. I've tried to make a bit more of an effort, even if, like, you know, it's a movie that I would prefer to see, but maybe my wife wouldn't. I'll try and just go, like, maybe a Monday night at, like, 10 o'clock, like, one where it's not going to affect any schedule or anything. I might try. But, no, I mean, I've done the same thing for about the past decade with Destiny and content hard, and other stuff. Bro. It's hard to do.
Movies games, take away the game time.
Yeah, I mean, it's like games are so much longer anyway. It's like, so it's like, am I going to, or if you know, somebody's like, hey, go watch the show. It's only got 5 seasons. I'm like, you don't know how much TV I've missed. Same thing. Same. So there's a couple big ones that I would love to watch, but it was like, where I did watch one episode of Fallout. Started really good. Kind of liked everything where it was going. So I will, again, try and find time to work through that pretty slowly. I mean, I've heard amazing things, so it's like that I want to get to. I finished Tales of K'Zera Zhao. You guys will hear more about that later. I can say that I've been playing it, I've beat it, and you guys will see more about that soon. Comes out next week, and just get ready. That's all I can say for dates and stuff without breaking embargo. And then today, a game that I've been waiting for so long since I saw the tease of it, Ori and the Will of the Wisps and Ori and the Blind Forest are two of my favorite platformers. Like, Super Metroid was one of my games growing up. No, sorry, not Metroid. Those are platformers. I was thinking of Tales of K'Zera. That's the Metroidvania. Wrong connection.
I think Ori is also a Metroidvania.
I guess it is.
I would call it that more than a platformer.
Yeah, because you don't do as much like backtracking in Ori so much, if I remember correctly.
You do. You get some powers that let you move differently.
The powers, it seemed fairly linear, though, like, if I remember correctly. It's been a minute, but again, I played both and loved those games. Cried in both of them. And then their new game, No Rest for the Wicked, is out as of early access today. I put about 4 hours into it, and I am loving this game. I don't know if I can say enough good things about it so far. It's just doing a lot of things that work for me specifically. You have an ARPG setup. You have the isometric angle. You've got the world in that. You've got a little bit of gear and stuff of that nature. But it's going to be deliberate melee kind of Souls-like combat. So you've got to be very specific on the parries, which I've still got to learn that timing. I'm not doing great. But the dodges are...
Shield makes it easier.
Yeah. I was messing around with the big claymore, which is fun for damage. But it definitely, and you can parry with it, but it's a learning curve.
You have to get the timing way better. Like, the shield makes it so easy.
Mm. Yep. So been experimenting. But it's the art style that they put together in their games.
Whew.
Both of the first two are stellar, and this one takes it to another level. I don't know if I've seen an animated cutscene that is so stylistic, but also so well animated. And you'll know as soon as you see one, if anybody's watching me play it today, just the little, when they get to the actual people talking to each other, the expression, the like mouth animations, better mouth animations than like anything I've played recently until you get to a really stellar game. It's just the way it's all,
it's early access.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's early too.
And then you get the, there's a tease of, hey, here's a blueprint for a chest you're going to put in. I'm like, you're going to get crafting in a house, you've got armor upgrades, gems, slots, all of this in like an ARPG, and the first boss fight in a Souls game. It's gonna test you and make you learn kind of combat and dodging and kind of break you into everything. And then I got the first city, I was just like, how big is this early access in quotes game, and how much time can I put into this thing? But I'm loving pretty much everything I've put to it so far. I will put most things to skill. The exploration to it. I love when games reward you for exploration. If you're going to have the option to explore, make it worthwhile.
Yes.
Everywhere I went, there was something. And there was either a new area that I just kind of went down, a different ladder, then I swam across this thing, and then there was an island, there was more. Everywhere I went, there was something, and typically there was a chest over there or something. Just something. And I love it when games, if it's going to be open and you give somebody the option to explore, there better be something out there. And there was. It's so far 4 hours in. I want to play it right now. I don't want to be on here. I want to play it right now. So that's where I'm at.
We want to play it right now.
Yeah, I know. So this will be a short podcast today. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. 14 minutes to wrap it up. And
I'm down. I also want to play. I've been playing.
Travis.
Sitting on my code right now.
Yeah. Thoughts, Travis, since you've been playing as well? I don't want to steal the thunder, so I just want to get your opinion.
I've been playing since 9 a.m. I'm handling IGN's review in progress for this game. Woo. So going to be playing a ton of it. It's very impressive. I love ARPGs, and it kind of takes away a lot of the stuff I don't like about, or some of the stuff that I think ARPGs can do better, like the turn your brain off and just reuse your powers over and over again that you get from like a Diablo is certainly not there. It feels much more like an action game with more of an ARPG perspective, but it keeps all the stuff that I love about ARPGs, which is like getting the loot and changing out your abilities and doing the fun stuff like that. The art style horrifies me in some ways. The characters look insane.
Their proportions are crazy.
Their hands dangle down to their ankles. Like,
the dude's forearms are like my thighs. It is the weirdest looking thing.
Oh, we got the calf situation popping off.
Oh, dude, the forearms.
if you choose a woman character, her gams, dude, are like Christmas hams. They are unbelievable. They are unbelievable. I named my character Nian Dreithal because he looks like a insane person. But once you're in the actual game and you see characters and you kind of start to get used to the like long faces and like oversized kind of cartoonish look. And then when you actually see them in a cutscene, it sort of makes sense. I think the way they intro you of just like you click create character and the first thing you see is a naked monster is super off-putting. And I really hope that in the final version they introduce the art style better so that I know I don't just get 100% thrown into this body horror. But once you're actually in the game and you start to see the art style, it makes sense and you get over the weirdness. And I actually love the art now. Just the character's proportions are
all over the place.
Scary. They actually are going to give me nightmares, I'm pretty sure. They just look really stretched out. Like they were on one of those torture machines, you know, that stretch their limbs.
Well, it's like take your upper arm and then your forearm are typically about the same. If you take the forearm, make it bigger than probably the upper arm noticeably. Mm-hmm. And also like my forearm would be up to my fingertips and then my hand would be out here.
Yeah. Damn.
And it's like, you kind of have a little bit of the gorilla arms. Cause like the forearms are massive and beefy. And then, but the long, tall faces, as you said, they're weird. But then when you get in a cutscene, they're so expressive. It does work. It's this.
I have a theory.
I would love to ask them how they landed on that.
Because it's an ARPG, I have a theory that the people on this in this fantasy land evolved to be able to scoop up loot easily. So their hands can basically touch the ground while they're in the standing position. So they can scoop up, you know, items and gold without having to bend over. Yes. I think it was a world building thing where they were like, if the world was all about collecting loot, what would the humans look like?
Maybe it was just a style choice. Who knows?
You know what, Ivantis? You're ruining my immersion. Right?
He gives you the deep lore.
This is my head canon, bro.
That's fine.
You need to read the lore. You need to read the lore.
He got the grimoire.
So, aside from that, though, I'm loving it. I'm surprised there's so much in the game. It has technical performance problems.
Yes, I've had some frame chunks. Yeah.
From frame drops. But that's to be expected in early access. Everything else, though, so far, it seems really good. And the game is fully out for people who want to buy it. So I'm trying to get my review in progress out as quickly as possible. Probably Monday I'll have like my initial thoughts and then I'll write more whenever I finish the content. But so far, so good. Really cool. Very different take on ARPGs. Doesn't have classes, which is kind of interesting.
Weapons are very unique, though. Like each weapon, the weapons has are its unique,
but you're not make you're you don't have a reason to make five different characters each with their own. You know, because there's not like a sorcerer and a druid like there is in some of the others.
I did get a staff though that actually has like a fireball as like a focus skill, which is what you're working on.
Yeah, for those of you who say I'll wait for the review, great. That's what I prefer anyway. Please wait for the review.
Please wait for the review.
I'll let you guys know how I feel. I also want to give a shout out to another game, a Souls-like, called Another Crab's Treasure.
I want to play that too.
I am allowed to say that I am reviewing that game, and that's all. Okay. Actually, I guess a more accurate way to put it would be I reviewed that game. Oh, I'm fully done with the review. It's gone. It's just this one has a very long embargo. The embargo lifts on April 24th, which is sometime next week. And so next week, you'll be able to read my review, which is done. But for now, I'm just chilling and playing other games.
Nice.
So,
nice.
Yeah, I can't say anything about that game except for that I beat it and that I have a review coming out. I can't state any opinions
exclusive.
On it. So,
yeah, same with me and Zal. It's like yeah. I've beat it and that's it.
Yeah. My review is done and it'll come out later. But yeah, I'm fully on this other thing. And we also got some Eternal Strands stuff out this week.
Nice.
So if you've been keeping track of that, we got
the article. I haven't watched today's.
Yeah, we got a preview out yesterday about the power system and physics and how you can combine powers to do crazy stuff. And then today we had an interview with the art team to talk about how they settled on their art style and, you know, how difficult it is to make your game look like it was painted and other stuff. So pretty cool. And then next week we've got our final piece for the month with Eternal Strands, which is
nice.
The world first preview. It's my full preview of Eternal Strands, me just fully opening the kimono and telling you guys what I think of this game. So good time.
With that verbiage, but okay.
I feel like you own a kimono.
I do that, but
if you don't, be careful
opening others' kimonos.
You need to own a kimono because you would kill that look. Imagine Cog with a kimono smoking
what
a cigar?
What size kimono is he going to have to order from overseas?
Definitely for the beefy boys out here.
Yeah. I don't know, but he's going to crush it. He's going to crush it, dude. And he's going to be comfy.
I respect it. I've seen it before.
Farting for silk, bro. Good. It's good.
Ridiculous.
Anyway. The chat's just like kaboom,
kaboom.
About how that would go,
just ripped.
No doubt. But yeah, for me, being on a movie theme, finished the entire Fallout TV show.
Nice,
absolutely loved it. Love Travis's character. He made his debut in the Fallout scene. Oh man, I absolutely love it, bro. You killed it. You killed it in Vault 33.
I did. I'm Glenn.
Yo, he is you on some level. He's just this very introspective, very dangerously curious person who gets into stuff, and it's very hilarious. He's one of my little heroes in the show, but they killed it, man. They got the essence of the show. They kept a lot of source material, and it is just addicting. It is truly addicting. I didn't expect to like it the way I did. I was like, I was kind of like I'm gonna try like one or two, and then you know I'll get back to it. Oh no. Once from episode like two on, I could not stop. I'm like, okay, I gotta stop. I can't watch this whole thing in one sitting. I got other things I gotta do. But yeah, man, they nailed it. They absolutely nailed it. I like where they're going. Gore, it's morally gray on a lot of levels, but the classic humor, and then that what makes Fallout to me is that 1950s, that the, you know, like they have all these horrible things happening with this kind of hilariously themed music going on. And as a person who played Fallout 3, there was some iconic callbacks that I'm like, oh, I know where they are. Like you kind of think it's just for a video game adaptation. I ain't gonna front. I think I have it as the top. They really nailed this. I was blown away. This is something I did not expect. I came in with very middling expectations. The preview seemed cool. The trailer seemed cool. But no, they did that, man. So highly recommend that. And as a result, I'm like, all right, I got to play something Fallout. I know the Fallout 4 update is not until like the 25th. So I actually tried Fallout 76, y'all. Have never played it. So like saw the horror stories at launch.
I reviewed it at launch.
Oh, bro. I'm like, this is actually not that bad. Like, they revamped the engine. It is like a completely different thing from what I saw. That's
kind of the ZeniMax model, because ESO wasn't as bad as Fallout 76 when it came out, but it still wasn't great. I played it at launch too, and that game was to call it half baked would be generous. Like, it was less than half baked.
Oh, yeah.
And they really, really, really do not give up on their games and put in the effort. And I think in both cases, ESO and Fallout 76, like they're much better now. My original review, I think I gave it a 4 out of 10.
Yeah, it was
and
hard.
I titled my review Worst Virginia.
Nice. Nice. I like that.
You guys see Fallout got renewed for season 2?
Yeah, bro. Shout out to Reggie Bobby. Do I think it's better?
As it should.
Look, Last of Us is great. And I think one of my episodes with Bill was probably like one of my favorite episodes kind of like of all time for it. But I got to admit, Reggie, I think I got to give Fallout the better series, man. I overall, and don't get me wrong, this is like greatness versus greatness. That's how good Fallout was to me. I was blown away. I highly recommend you guys check it out. So that was
I started it. I want to watch it
just for not parroting the game. You know what I mean? It does its own thing. Which
it does its own thing. Yeah,
that's what I want from games. I want them to remind me of the game and invoke them, but I don't want to just experience the same thing I saw.
Exactly. Yeah. And they nailed it with these characters. And oh, what's my man, Walton Goggins? Bro, superstar. That was my man from, he used to be in The Shield and Justified, all these kind of morally gray characters. But, and then here's the thing, I won't spoil, but the best part of this, E, the Vault Dwellers are the most hilariously naive people you will ever meet.
Oh, I already got that from episode 1.
Bro. And then they're like,
living underground for 216 years. Yeah.
Yeah, with just basic things.
It's Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. It's that joke. Yeah.
Yep.
Or what's the Brendan Fraser movie, Blast from the Past? My wife reminded me of that too.
Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah.
Yeah. They
killed the one where they're in the bunker for like 20 years or whatever.
Yeah. So we got that. Oh, obviously. God, yeah. So I'm playing that. Obviously, ton of Destiny, which we'll get into. Which Travis was reminding me, stop playing Destiny, stop playing Tekken. He's messaging me while I'm blazing hours and doing all type of
things. I was writing the review for another Crab's Treasure over the weekend, and I kept looking over at Discord, and I was just savagely jealous of Cog because he was playing games all day, and he had like a Tekken marathon. Yeah. And I messaged him after I saw him online for like 3 hours. I was like, "Yo, stop playing Tekken, enough is enough." And then like a couple hours later, I just saw him playing Destiny, and he played that for hours too. And so I messaged him, "Bro, stop playing Destiny. Enough is enough." And he's just like, "What are you doing? Why are you messaging me all day, telling me to stop playing games?" And I'm like, "Dude, I'm so jealous you're gaming right now because I'm writing and
I'm
procrastinating." Yeah,
no, it's all good. Yeah, it was good. I did that, and then a shout out to the only thing that happened today was that I can now talk about is Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 finally announced. I was able, to check that out. Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 was announced today. You guys broke it as well. You guys broke it as well. And I had to play stupid. But I'm so proud of them. Engine looks great. Crytek. And, to me, it's always been the more realistic version of Skyrim. And like just, eating and sleeping and almost the simulation style in conjunction. My only hope is I felt the combat in the first one was a little too complex, a little too rigid. They seem to be going way more. They got crossbows on horseback. Now they got more stuff. But I just hope that it looks just as complex. And I think for some casuals, that may be off-putting this hardcore combat style. So I'm just hoping they have a better... Yes, Fallout 4 is better than Halo.
As long as they keep the illiterate mechanics, I'm in.
Yes, illiterate. You could be drunk, naked, you could stink, you could do all type of social abnormalities you can do in the game and the world reacts to you. So yeah, and then they go on with the whole, tropes as far as the play the way you want to play. You could be a bastard, a peasant, a lover, a thief. They're going all out with the role playing. So yeah, I'm very, you could tell the budget's up, the score is up, the graphics is up. I think they use a CryEngine. I'm super proud of them. They look like they're going all out and coming out this year for next gen. So that's been it. And that's a little Destiny game I've been playing a little bit too much of. That's been going on too.
Yeah, a little too much Destiny.
Yeah, a little too much.
Well, take off the Destiny talk. What have you been doing in Destiny? What's been keeping you so busy?
Yeah, well, obviously, Onslaught. I've been doing. I've unfortunately cannot report any shinies. Shinies do not like me. Did not get any outside of the one that you get for unlocking the weapon, which is that default boring role that nobody really likes for most of these weapons. Yeah, you're getting none. And
one was Destiny the Meme. I think we had her on the podcast. He was up to 700 and... Yeah, we did. 710 waves till she finally got a shiny to drop. Bro, now, I've had a few. Crazy. I've had a few. I was a little more consistent than her, but she had a really long streak going, and she finally got like a crappy Edge Transit or something. I haven't had a lot, but I've had a few enough to be like, all right, they do exist, but
yeah,
seems so a little rough.
Been unlucky there. Had some interesting instances with some randos doing foolishness when the Tormentor spawns.
Yep.
And I'm like, bro, go away from the ADO. I did not know that you can heal the little things.
Yeah, throw in the little orb helps all the defenses. Yeah, that was something that seemed to get figured out in the last couple of days.
Mm-hmm. So I've been doing that, and got a decent midnight coup, but I'm still looking for what is it? Kinetic tremors and like
firefly
stuff like that.
Yeah, there's a couple different ones.
And my confession is not really enthused by Mountaintop. Not really.
It doesn't seem to be hitting quite as exciting as some people I think would like it to be. I haven't looked through God Rolls. I haven't got my hands on any of them yet, honestly. Mm-hmm. Midnight Coup people seem excited about. I saw Elsie's Rifle, a couple different video reviews. Elsie's Nomad Rifle. I'm loving that one.
Yeah, and it's good. PvP dope, but PvE, a little. It has the role that you want.
It has the repulsor. Yeah, I want, and I still,
and it's
I have
sick.
My focus has been on Recluse. I still haven't got that one yet. So I want my repulsor, whatever the other half of that perk combination
repulsor
is.
Repulsor Blaze destabilizing.
Destabilizing, yeah. I would like to get just one of those, just at least tuck that thing away, whether it's a shiny or not. And then I could work on focusing something else. I would like a good succession as well.
Oh, I got one. I got a bunch of those. That, and I'm happy because I was very unlucky every time I did Deepstone, Travis's favorite T-Secret. So I would always get horrible successions, or I wouldn't get that. The two weapons that everybody wanted, that and like a God Roll Heritage, I'd always get terrible rolls or wouldn't get them to drop. And I finally got succession. I got like all the different variations, the recombination, the Vorpal. I love succession. It's really good.
So here's a question, since Prescott kind of brought it up. I've seen this discussion, like I've seen Tassie being like for a while saying like crafting ruined the game. Mm-hmm. And then I've seen people talking
about wrong though.
Well, it's like, and then I was like, this is where I think there's a middle ground. People are like freaking out going the other way. People are like, oh, it's so exciting to get a shiny. And I'm like, so where do you guys fall on the fact that now we're grinding hours and hours and hours? I could go these entire 2 months and not get the one roll I want for Recluse, or I can go craft one. Where are you now after having a couple years with crafting, having that situation, seasons and all of those things going on, versus now we're back to something purely random? Where are we at?
Yeah, Trav, let's just answer first.
I think both can exist. I don't think everything has to be craftable. I think you give entirely random rolls for the people who want it in certain areas where it makes sense. And I think you give craftable in areas where you don't want them to suffer. Like for me, raids and being entirely random is just pain because nobody wants to do a raid 40 times. And so I think if you can have it do it a couple times and get the guns that they want to be craftable. I mean, crafting is already so much work. You know, between leveling it up and rebuilding it and all that stuff, it's just a ton of work. And so I think both things can exist. If there's not a way to craft it, I'm probably not going to grind for it because that's, to me, like, Onslaught is just not worth it. And there's nothing in the game that's difficult enough that I need Onslaught weapons to succeed. Mm-hmm. I don't need the perfect rolls there. If it's something that I can craft, I'm much more likely to do it. But even then, I'm kind of asking a lot, right? I have to get like 8 copies of the gun or whatever. Like they're already asking us to do a lot. I don't think we need more. I don't think crafting has ruined the game. I think that's pretty silly. I think it's probably made the game much more predictable in how you get the roles that you want.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's a bad thing. I mean, I'm not out here begging them to like force me to do the same activity 4,500 times just to get an item. I think shinies is actually the better solution they've ever had because, you know, you can't craft a shiny. And so I think if this Onslaught event had craftables, but there was still a shiny, I think the hardcore people would still be incentivized to do it. And the people like me who are never going to grind for the perfect role would be able to craft it and move on. So I tend to be on the side of crafting, but I'm also like, actively trying not to hate Destiny, right? And the best way to do that is like
minimal.
You know, play as much as you're having fun, and then stop, and don't force yourself to play when you don't want to. In Onslaught, I think I ran it like 4 or 5 times, and by that point, 50 rounds, each of them 90 minutes or an hour.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Definitely about it. Yeah.
It takes a while to get there, right?
60 to 90 minutes, depending on how it's going.
Yeah, it was somewhere between an hour and 90 minutes each time. By the end, I was sort of just like, I don't want to keep doing this, dude. Like, even if you gave me the perfect role, like, it's not worth it. It's the same kind of loop over and over again. And so I would have liked if they were craftable, but I'm not heartbroken that they aren't. But I still do think crafting should largely stay in the game. I think it's helpful for those who, especially activities you don't want to repeat all over and over again, or activities that weren't like designed to be repeated over and over again, right? It doesn't make sense to like force people to do it arbitrarily just so that they can get a perfect roll. Yeah. So,
I mean, Prescott said it in chat. He said, crafting has only ruined the game for those that spend too much time in the game. I mean, that is, if you are somebody who lives and breathes this game a lot, does crafting take away some of the reason for you to keep playing as much? Maybe, but for the people who don't want to live and breathe the game, it actually makes their relationship with the game a lot healthier, knowing they can put in X amount of time, and then they can still have, you know, pretty good arsenal to go along with that time.
It's still a lot of work. It's not.
Yeah, it's like, it's not. Yeah. I mean, whether you do like a weekly roll or whether you get lucky, it's like there's still some grinding to it, but there's light at the end of the tunnel. And when it's like random, that's what I said. I was like, I could do my recluse as my focus for the next 2 months and go through and do as many drops as I'm going to get. And I may just get unlucky. And that would suck. But we'll see how it all goes. But I saw that kind of discussion coming back up. Some people are saying, I haven't been this excited about a drop in a while.
Yeah.
And that's another feeling, because you is the other one I want to ask, because you're always over here like, what about those moments? Where are we at? Come on. So I was like, now I kind of want to get your take. Where are you at with regards to crafting, the shinies, kind of just this, as we go into final shape, where would you like to see this balance? Because Travis said he doesn't want raid weapons to be there. I've actually seen some people on Twitter say raids are the things that shouldn't be craftable due to the special nature of the event. And I was like, but I understand Travis's point, but I also kind of see theirs. So where are you at in all this?
It's funny that we've got crafting to settle for a while now, right? So the way I look at it is, this is their solution to you being unlucky, right? So I think that what happens is, let's be honest, a lot of these raid and these dungeon weapons that have random rolls, that have these amazing archetypes that generally are best in class, right, at their prospective weapon type. So crafting to me is the middle ground for the people who, okay, either you're unlucky, you can't get those weapons to drop, or when you get them, they're terrible rolls, right? So you get maybe an archetype that maybe not as dominant or doesn't have the great origin trait that the raid weapon has, but you still have a solid version of it with its own craftable thing. And then I guess the trade-off is you can make it enhanceable with the perks, right? Get that little extra second on, you know, Rampage or whatever it is, right? So that's the medium. I think that for my play style, I'm always going to lean towards probably the higher end activity first before the craft, because I feel like those weapons are best in class. If you really, you know, blow for blow, stat for stat, you know, we've had moments where, you know, Heritage was best in class at Kinetic Shotgun, you know, Secession. Usually, you know, the rocket from
Apex Predator.
Yeah, like there's generally the raid weapons end up being, because what it is, they always come with unique perk combinations where generally the third column, they'll put in a fourth column park in the third column, you'll get these dope combinations. So I like that per se, but now this is where I kind of align with, I think all of us have discussed this on this podcast, where my issue comes down to probability on like doing things to increase probability. And I just feel they still suck at that because there are times where I'm like, okay, bro, I did this. We ran the raid with all warlocks. We did all the things. And, you know, you claim I'm going to get a better percentage of the drop or the raid exotic.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. You know what I'm saying? So it's like that part. And still to this day, shout out to Citizens in the chat. I remember when I was going through the collective obligation grind for Rolk in the Valve Disciple and it would not drop for me. Bro, there was times we ran that when it was the featured raid. We ran that way like 20 times. I counted it. people who already had collective obligations were getting the gun again.
No, that was, I mean, I'm like, I had this experience in Gjallarhorn in D1. That was like my white whale. And my buddy had nine. He filled up his heavy slot. I've said this before. He had 9 Gjallarhorns before I got one. I'm like, something is not quite right here.
How is the algorithm not knowing this? That's the part that bothers me. Yeah, I'll let you finish.
No, I was just going to say, it's like, well, I have a thought, so you can finish yours. So I have kind of a...
Yeah, no, nah, look, you know, for right now, I'm still cool with the way things are. You know, obviously we have attunement. You know, you can now, you know, focus that weapon in the way you want it. But I guess with the shiny, yes. My only nitpick with the shiny, I like the rarity. That's cool. My only nitpick, if I do a bunch of 50-run legend onslaughts, can I get a little probability, please? Oh, they talk about it? Okay, good. That's all I'm saying.
Something. Yeah, well, no, it was a Twitter thread yesterday, if I remember right. It was actually a feedback. This is one of those things where it's like they drop a massive amount of feedback in a Twitter thread, and I'm going, not everybody has Twitter.
Right.
They don't always know. Destiny 2 team, I want to say, is... Yeah, okay. Okay. Yesterday, we've been following feedback that there should be better incentives to stay in Onslaught for the full 50 waves. The teammates don't dip out after wave 10. And that was the biggest thing, is people are going to find the path of least resistance. So they would do one wave of Legend, get their double drop at level 10, and it's easy, and they out. And that's their quickest way to get that loot, because you're getting still some tokens from it, you're getting the other. So they're trying to incentivize people to stay longer and go for the challenge. Mm-hmm. So they said, change one, a chance for additional weapons to drop when you complete a wave. The drop chance will increase per wave until you get your weapon, and the drop chance will be guaranteed on wave 50, so you get at least one extra drop. A bonus weapon will also drop after you complete wave 50 in either difficulty. This change, along with the following, means that completing 50 waves will guarantee two additional weapons, which is some, but I feel like for a lot of people that's not enough. So it's kind of, but they are trying to give you more incentive. Also, more tokens, or trophies of bravery, sorry, same thing. The later you get into waves, the more tokens you're going to get by sticking it out. So they're trying to, they're listening to feedback that the incentive is less there. But it was like, to combine all of what you guys were saying, for Travis's point, I think both could exist. I think for what you're saying is make the raid worthwhile too. What they're doing with shinies is something they could probably do in raids that I would love to see. Because if you're, say, if they want raids to be random, which I know Travis doesn't want, but say that's something they wanted to do to make those a little more special with the perks. Do a shiny thing where they drop as double perk rolls. And then guess what? If you run master difficulty, you could have three sets of perks drop, because they do that from the factions like Vanguard. If you run master and you get a weapon, but maybe you don't want these things to be craftable, have three sets of perks drop if you're on master, and God knows you're bound to get something reasonable in a much shorter period of time. So they have ways where they can do stuff like, now an exotic not dropping, trust me, there should be a cap period. I get tired of that stuff. That better not be a thing. But that would be a really,
I think that be a thing, and not, it seems not to be consistent in the philosophy, if you think it should be true for exotics but not for god rolls.
I mean,
either you want a game that makes you grind endlessly, or you want a game that predictably gives you loot if you put in the effort.
Well, I was trying to basically satisfy some people that were looking for the raids. For you, I like the fact that raids are craftable, because you still have to do the raid enough to get all of those patterns. And by that point, whether you make your own god roll or you got one on accident, you know that raid well enough to have mastered at that point, that if you can craft everything, you don't need to play anymore, which I totally get. So it's like that I get, but I was just saying, for some people, maybe to incentivize like the random roll drop, like if crafting is a thing, but to balance it, maybe the random drops have more perks, so there's still benefit, or a way of a random drop still have value over a crafted, because it's got double perks and crafted are all single lines. That gives some incentive to random, and helps with some of the math, because there's usually so many perks. So there are ways they could go about doing this, and I think we're all in the same boat that it is nice to occasionally get a shiny. Now, if my shiny didn't just suck completely, it would be nice too, because I got some and I'm like, I don't care how many perks you have on here, you're awful. Like, you're just terrible. So it doesn't matter if you have 2 or 20, they're all bad.
At least you got one. They have yet to see one drop for me.
Well, if you get up to 710 waves, then you can talk to Destiny the meme. Until then, she's probably got everybody beat, but she finally got one. But I mean, the shinies I've got, none of them are worth. I think one might be decent, but none of them have been god rolls. Not one of my shinies has been a god roll. So it's not not exactly been great, even if it is dropping, because I just haven't been lucky.
Yeah, I got you.
It's just an interesting discussion, because now we're kind of back seeing the other side after we've had crafting so much. The random rolls are out here, seeing the discussion out there. I was just curious, and I think a balance of both and a healthy way to help with some of the... to give the long-term player who wants to live in this game something to go for, cool, but also to give a path for the people who have limited time and don't want to hate the game is a good thing, too. They can try and balance both of those, I hope.
I agree.
But yes, I think the drop rate for shinies is probably a little bit low.
A little bit. But
it's fine, though, right? It doesn't impact the game. It's literally just for the psychos who want to grind forever, so... this is what they asked for. Like,
that
literally.
Is true. They did ask
for what they asked for. They wanted something that felt exclusive, that gave them a reason to keep grinding, and it doesn't have an impact on the game, so it doesn't hurt other players. So I say keep it where it's at and let the people who get it, and let the people who don't get it continue to grind just like they want to.
So that's kind of what we've been playing. And then today we dropped the Twid. What are you talking about? And the first thing, a little contentious, the date of the raid.
Oh, yeah, that
is June 7th. Now,
gets my review out faster.
That's about the only benefit. That's the benefit I'm going to give you on that one.
But I'm on team. I'm on team. Let's do it. Let's do it that Friday. Because I'll be, let's be honest, we'll be done with the campaign. It does make me worry a little bit that maybe. Maybe the campaign's short.
Either the campaign's short or the campaign's incomplete without the raid, so they didn't want this like 10-day.
Yeah.
So that's why, okay. So let's just get into
they
it.
Had, they wanted... had like, you know, I think the Forsaken is like one that people remember as being like a long wait, right? It was like 10 days.
But I mean, I thought Witch Queen did a long one. I thought Lightfall did a long one. They've had the 10-day wait. Yeah.
Wait, did they really?
Yeah.
I think Forsaken kind of set the tone of like, we're never going to put it back on the same. They had like they have a discussion about this. They were like, you know, we want to give people more time.
I don't know. For some reason, I remember it being like quick because I remember rushing to be ready for the raid.
I think it was like the following week after release.
Yeah, I feel like the last couple were 10 days, and that's why some people were planning for.
Well, if I felt like I was rushing for the raid before.
Right. So, okay, this is the big speculation. And this is kind of, you brought up one point as well. You can extrapolate what you want from this. We don't know what we're getting until obviously we get there. King's Fall was the last one they did 3 days later. Yeah. Mm. So most of them have been 10 days. So it feels like if they've been doing 10 days for a good bit, whether they may have had an odd one here or there, and they may have done the 3 days for some of the re-releases of raids, like with seasons, but the full expansions I think have been 10 because that's where you get the power increase and everything else. From the stream, it did look like 2010 power level on the stream, so I feel like that is probably going to be involved, unless that's just like not happening. But the expansion
that's up from like what 180,
1810 now, 2010, so 200 power level, even 2000 for final shape feels about like what they were going for. So, couple questions: why would it be so close to the campaign? Does this mean the campaign is missing something? Does it feel short? Do they feel like they need the raid to complete it quickly? But also, do you feel like now you're not going to, for those who want to do the raid, do you feel like you're going to be rushing through the campaign? Do you feel like you're going to have to force it faster for people who don't have gaming as like their entire job and that kind of thing? The three of us are lucky enough. But yeah, so there's a couple different pieces, but go ahead.
My theory is that they're doing this to address all of the negative feedback they got from the hardcore community before about contest mode being too easy, because it sure as shit not going to be too easy if you have to kill yourself for 3 days to try to get there. And I think that's kind of what it comes down to. Also, people find out bugs and exploits and overpowered weapons and builds the longer the game is out. So that by the time the raid is ready, people have already figured out like glitches to get around stuff and to do things that are crazy. And I feel like they probably maybe are just trying to minimize that. Or what you said before about the story feeling incomplete. I mean, it basically is incomplete, right?
Well, I think Prescott said it because he's like, they said there's something with like either a final mission, a conclusion of the story, something they are very tied together, and I forget how they phrased it with whatever announcement they did a while back, but it's something to where the raid finishes the story, or there's a final mission that everybody can experience with the raid, or some weird connection like that.
I still think there's a way to do it, right? Like, Forsaken had an ending to the campaign, but then the campaign kind of continued over the next week until the game, until the raid came out. And then when the raid came out, it felt like you had still been experiencing the campaign. And so maybe this doesn't have that. Maybe this is like you get up to the door of the final boss's home, and it would feel weird if you had to wait 7 days to go inside for no reason. And there's no like other story beats to happen in between then. And so if that's the case, I could see them wanting to do it. In terms of the campaign being too short, I'm not really worried about that because, you know, we all beat the Witch Queen on the first day it came out, and that campaign felt like it was beefy and good enough, and it still only took like what, 8 hours to beat at most. And that was on the challenge.
I think I soloed Legend like 10 or 11.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 10 or 11 hours. But you were playing alone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Actually, now that I think about it, I think it took me longer for the most recent one because I was playing with Destin Legere, which was a nightmare.
And they did scale the difficulty for more players when you played on Legendary, right? When they all played three.
No, I really got the difficulty scaled playing with Destin. It was like an extra modifier.
Good idea.
I'm not super worried about the campaign because they've all kind of been the same length, and beating it in a day isn't a problem to me. As long as the levels are good and the story's good and all that stuff, I'll be happy. I forgot about that catch-up mechanic where you get your power level way up if you beat it on the hard mode. So
yes,
I'm definitely going to do that. That's a great way to get there real quick.
Yeah, do Legend and get your... So the power leveling didn't really matter. The Pinnacle is the part where...
Right.
Pinnacle, the that artifact matters. To get up to that, that you get will an extra matter.
Week of pinnacles, that pinnacle. Will matter. You're not going to get matter. That. And then also the exploit thing, right? Where we always find out like which exotic is broken as hell.
And then they usually just turn it off like the Thursday night before the raid or something.
And they usually release like some fragment part of the new subclass, I'm assuming Prismatic, that if they gave it to us at the beginning, they know it would help us clear stuff
after
easy.
You beat the raid, you get a couple other
after
fragments.
After you beat the raid, they go give us some
prismatic
stuff that really makes the builds powerful because they want to maintain
that
difficulty.
I could also see like a week two of the expansion exotic mission dropping that has a broken exotic that they don't want you to have for the raid or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it could also just be like how much can players figure out about how broken prismatic is in those 3 days, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think there's probably a lot of reasons to do it.
There's now reason to save up bounties again, though, which I hate, but I'm going to do it.
It goes against the philosophy that they talked about before of like this not being your life and not killing yourself.
Yep.
I feel like they're going to have some messaging problems there when people, you know, go into a coma because they sat for 3 days playing Destiny. So I don't know how they're going to deal with that. Interesting choice.
Yeah, it is interesting because... There's a part of me that thinks that they would get more engagement if they stretched it a week. Because you have that opening week, you know, hype, the game, you know, new expansion release, everyone's playing, and then it's like, all right, guys, we're ramping up for next week. And then you do your
everybody
whole...
plays Destiny for 10 days straight.
Yeah, for 10 days straight. So to me, I felt like it's counterproductive. I do agree with Travis in the sense that I think the reason why they're doing this is strictly narrative beat.
That's the only thing that I will agree with is if it's narrative based. Because if it's anything else, I feel like what you're saying is you're putting people in a time crunch that's unnecessary. You're putting people to where they're going to start saving up bounties because I know I'm going to do the same damn thing if I'm going to be on a day one raid team. You're shortening the window, as you're saying, of engagement for people who are going to stream. Azdacross is going to have, you know, 20,000 videos up, or he's going to have like four before the raid comes out. It's kind of weird, so I'm praying it is a very important raid narrative link thing.
Yes.
Because if it's not that, I will be a little... That's the only one I'll give them.
Yeah, it has to be, because they literally have confirmed that we will face the witness in the raid, right? So it will be kind of like a Taken King situation where we're like, okay, this is unfinished business. We have to now get him in there. And then probably some really cool narrative beat that they knew if they cut off at the end of the campaign, it's just going to be so incomplete and disjointed to be wait 10 days or whatever it is to do it. So I think that's the reasoning.
My question mm-hmm. about that is the people who don't raid, right. How is their campaign going to feel if they're left like mid-step and be like, cliffhanger? Like,
and I think they're going to try to offer a Band-Aid by saying, hey, guys, you know, you can compete at 18-10 or what, you know, like some very minimal light level that they'll give you a chest that say, hey, you can try too.
At like 1950, but you're gonna die. Be able
to,
good luck.
You're gonna get through you may be qualified to just look at the first encounter.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's about all you're gonna do at that light level. And then they'll say, okay, you know, obviously for the hardcore. So for them to break their own messaging rule, to me, shows one, how important they are valuing the story. And two, maybe they are looking at the engagement differently than I am and saying, we rather have this blowout first week launch.
They're gonna blow their with a raid, early.
Right? And then ride that train, because we have to admit, world's first is a thing. World's first is a thing for them. That's a big, you know, Twitch engagement thing. And I think maybe as far as the 45% target miss, there's something in the spreadsheet that says we gotta go all out that week. That first week. And ride that wave. So that, because it doesn't make sense for them to break their own rule. They have to have some type of data for them to justify.
But even for them, it's like, you know, you have like the people streaming for the people who are going to promote your game for free, who are going to do the videos, who are going to stream and all that stuff. They're going to play it for like the 10 days straight up to the raid. So you're just shortening that window to try and have other people see it, be like, oh, this is cool. This is prismatic and these other things. And now you're shortening that window and you're saying you want to like do everything quick. But I'm like,
what does that engage? That engages gremlin mode for all of us. That means all from Tuesday to Friday, we all gremlins.
Goblin mode.
And that's what they want. So it's like they're willing to have us no life. Everybody in the community, no lifing, all day destiny. That's what they want, bro. They're sacrificing it all. They're going in. It's the only thing that makes sense to me. Because they've always said, hey, we want you to take your time. We want you to not have to.
These are the times where I'm going to sleep in the guest room so I don't wake my wife up when I go to bed at 4 in the morning.
We going old dog 30, kids. I'm telling you, no sleep. You better take off work. It's on again. They want us living in it. They want them engagement numbers so they can tell Mr. Pete Parsons, look, guys, this is where we're trying.
See, that's
hey, Sony, this is what we're doing.
I'm not saying you're wrong, but if that is the reason for the decision, that is messed up.
Desperate times, baby.
Cynical.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, it seems a little cynical if that's the reason. I think there's a chance that's the reason, to be clear.
Travis is living.
It could also be a combination. It could be a combination.
Yeah, it's a lot of things coming together.
It could be what we were trying before wasn't working. We need this game to go viral, which means we need people talking about it for that entire, you know, first week. We don't want people piling on how there's no content. And if everybody's too worried about the raid, then they won't be able to focus on that.
Championship belt.
I don't know if we'll ever get an explanation unless it becomes a big deal and somebody leaks it to us in a year. But,
when Destiny 3 comes out, we get the Destiny 2 Schreier book. That's what
they don't want us playing no other games. You gonna live it, you gonna breathe it.
But
Travis,
I will say,
no sleep, review it.
I'm not super hurt about this because I do want to get this done,
get it over with. For
I
you,
mean, that's
yeah.
fair for you. Yeah, it's like you just want to review, knock it out, and be done in 1 week.
The longer I go without giving a review to people. The worse it is, I feel, for the consumer. It's irresponsible to write a review without having played the raid.
The raid
in 4 days, and my review in progress will be there on Monday, waiting for everybody. So,
And then let's just say for their sake, right? They have a great campaign. Let's just say we're just being hypothetical, and they really tie the bow with the witness being defeated in the raid, right? With a nice, thorough proof, like being conjunctive, it's to their benefit, You know what I'm saying? It's to their, but if they could pull it off, right? Again, provided it's a good story. If they tell it and it concludes in a way well, and then they open up what's the next for the future of Destiny for episodes and stuff like that, they'll have the talking points. They'll have the community. They'll have everybody on their side like, you got to do this, Ray, bro. You can't believe what happened. That's what they're hoping for. I'm not saying they're going to execute it, but that I think they're just going for the all. Somebody said the servers. See, now where I'm different from of Travis, though, is I feel they're putting more pressure on themselves with not being able to fix broken builds and stuff that we'll exploit that in them 3 or 4 days. So they're going to have to just disable stuff because dudes are going to find stuff.
Oh, of course.
Prismatic is going to break some stuff and dudes are going to find crazy builds. They're like, yo, we could melt that boss day one, bro. This is what we're going to do. Everybody standing in court, you know, put this exotic on, put these fragments on.
The weapons we're getting, I mean, you got your edge transes that people are going to be dumping cascade point, bait and switch, like DPS freight phases and stuff like that. It's all going to be hopefully about the mechanics and stuff. We'll see how long the raid is. The question will be is how, okay, so say now we know this is June 7th, the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the 48 hours will be over. People play it a little bit then too. Monday comes around, or that first weekly reset even happens. As we get closer, I'm guessing, I feel like they said 2 weeks for the episode, but I feel like they haven't said anything about the episode date in a while. I don't know if they want that episode to kick off faster. That was another thing I was wondering about, because previously said it was going to be like 2 weeks. I think maybe that next, and if that's the case, do you think they're going to do the future of Destiny? Like, just keep the train going.
So if you
go Friday the 7th, 8th, 9th, so maybe Monday or something, or maybe even Tuesday morning reset, they do that, the future of Destiny stream with like Luke Smith. Do you think they even come to that quick, or is that farther down the road? Where are you at for that stream?
It's possible. I think that, I feel we're going to see him again. I feel like they can't wait to talk about what they're doing. We've seen all the rumors now. Like, the dudes are, I mean, was it Codename Payback?
Yeah,
it's out there. Like, D3 is a thing. Apparently, it's been developing it since Witch Queen or whatever. I'm curious to see how long they talk about it and then how quickly they have Witchy laughing.
Summer Games Fest live on June 7th.
Oh, wow. What could you possibly talk about at that time? At the biggest stage, the equivalent of E3.
But there's nothing to talk about. Then we have to beat the witness. That's not going to happen. I don't forget how this thing all goes, but I'm just like, when does E3? Well, because Microsoft is the 9th. I heard that got rumored. So Sunday is when some of that stuff goes off. So they're just maybe they're going to have an announcement there. Maybe they wanted to squeeze it all into E3. Who knows?
Sony wants it on that. Come on, it's all coming together.
E3, Sony.
I know what they do. This is all out. We getting these percentages. We getting these targets. We going to get the most. If we go out, we going out swinging.
Here's my only problem with that is when it feels forced, the community is going to know it. And if it feels forced, it's going to suck. That's my problem.
I mean, they got the pressure. They ain't the one that got executed. They drop Lightfall. That's their problem.
Yeah.
I'm here. It's like you're supposed to make it right with me.
If you rush it and you force it just to try and hit some magical number target versus waiting a week to let things marinate and not to be lost in the middle of Summer Games Fest, it could go either way. I just don't know how it's going to go. I'm very curious to watch this train go through the station or crash into the station, and I'm not entirely sure which one.
I feel like people only complain about not having time before the expansion releases and then way later, like a month later when they're like, man, that sucked having to go through that. But I think that week, if the content is good, and that's the big X factor here, that's the big variable, right?
Yeah.
If the content is good, and we are forced to play it like complete goblins.
Yep.
I think we're probably not going to comment on it that week. Yeah. We're just going to be like, this is the life of a gamer. Nobody's making you play it.
Well, start saving your bounties.
Yeah.
Seriously, because what is 6 weeks out? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Next week will be 6 weeks. So yeah, start saving your bounties.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to do that is. But, I mean, if you want the jump on the artifact, and now the episode artifact is going to be an artifact that gets a little, has more perks in it as you go farther through it. And there's going to be 200 ranks to the season pass if you want to get all the little extra bumps in it.
The thing that sucks for me is literally, I believe that is Summer Game Fest and E3 week, and I'm gonna have to bring my Xbox with me. I gotta bring my Xbox. I am screwed. Like, it's drop Tuesday, and then it's, I think Summer Games Fest is Thursday, Friday, the 6th and the 7th, Xbox Conference the 9th. They're literally doing Raid Weekend.
The entire thing is going on during like one of the biggest news events, and I don't know if that's a way, if they're gonna get, but is that a, would you get lost? Because are people gonna be looking for what's the new trailer that got announced or what's a new thing, or are people gonna be over here watching a raid race? I think this is the point
if you have a new announcement to talk about at the Keighley's in conjunction with your raid race going on.
But would they drop a new announcement before the raid? Because the raid is on the 7th. 48 right. hours. The only way they would do it is if they have, like, I don't know if it's Sunday. Normally, the only reason I say this is Sony is not normally E3 tied.
Right.
Now, maybe they are this year. We don't know. But normally, they're either.
I think if they're at Summer Games Fest, they're not going to be talking about Destiny. Why would they?
Unless they have
at Summer Games Fest, it would be an ad, a sizzle reel for the expansion they just released. That's what they've done in the past, right?
I mean, maybe an ad. Yeah.
But remember, Bungie themselves still operate and do their own live streams independent of Sony. It's not like they're part of the Sony showcase and then Luke Smith comes out, right? It's they tell us when we're going to do our thing. So maybe they have something around that, you know, time period to announce.
I am not going to sleep much. I get that. I am just curious what the reasoning ends up being and how this plays out for the population and the hype and everything. If it's too big, too fast, if it's like a peak. What are you saying?
I'm saying Goblin, you gotta embrace it, you gotta embrace it.
Well, I mean, I'm going to be. There's no question. I will be Goblin mode 100% until, like, actually, Cacus actually reached out and asked if I wanted to be on his team, so.
Oh, that's what's playing. Look at you.
Unfortunately, Cacus is one of the first ones to get done every time, because his raid guide is damn fast every time. I'm gonna be like, he asked, and I was like, now, he doesn't have his regular crew. I think he was still looking for 3 total, but he's one who wants it done, because his raid guides are huge. What? So I was just like, the reason I said yes to him was, like, I do imagine I'm not going to.
You betrayed Cool Guy?
No, I think that, like, Nomad's over in Ireland now. He's in a different time zone. Cool Guy's got his health issues. I don't know if a raid would even be a good idea for him.
You done leveled up to Cacus HD. Huh?
He asked, and he was like,
number one. Now, Datto next. I see what's going on.
No, even though Datto does have a hole in his raid. No, Datto has a hole in his raid team right now because one of his raid team is getting married on the 7th.
Oh, wow.
They planned it for the wedding.
Yeah, it is.
There you go, Travis. You want a raid team with that? Oh, there you go. You will definitely get it
done.
He's
in the Illuminati now. We lost him. He's in the top tier, the top 2% of the Destiny game. I'm proud of you. You know I'm best with you.
No. But I am, this is just the way all these dates and everything and Summer Games Fest and all that stuff. There's a guest I was working on getting on the show. Now I think if I was working towards like 2 weeks later, that's probably actually going to be a little better now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who to get for that one, though. Or we just take a 2-week hiatus and, like, make 2 weeks later be 300.
Bro, it's going to be crazy because, damn. Even
Team Elysium has a hole, too, because that's.
He has a hole, too. That's right.
Because he got banned, I think, right?
Trav, that's right. You got to do day one. You got to do contest mode.
Yeah.
I did contest mode all the other years.
I finally did contest mode last year, but that was.
I usually find a random team like the day before, and I end up succeeding. And then meanwhile, like my buddies don't do it with like teams they've had established for months that are super try hard. So I've just gotten really lucky.
Oh, they killing me. Hold on. You're rated with Cacus as a hunter. That's
it
right.
Because Cacus is a Titan, so it works out that I'm not actually going to take another Titan spot.
Oh,
it also means I've got to find time to get my hunter up to spec.
Mm-hmm. Get those builds ready, bruh.
Yeah. Gotta work on some exotic farming because I got quite a few holes to fill in on my exotic bingo card.
I gotta do the same thing. Yeah. I'm not like Travis. I don't have the luck to get everything, every exotic in the game now.
It's not luck, dude.
You've got the dungeon ones too?
Yep.
Yeah.
Damn it. I don't got any of them. I ran them.
So I just got people that like know me from this show or from Fireteam Chat. And they hit me up and they go, hey, we do it every week. If you want, we'll include you. And so, dope. You know, I just pop on and I do like the dungeon
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all the Destiny I play that week.
Yep.
I just do the dungeon or I do the raid, and that's all the Destiny I play that week.
We got Ducky and Micro and Sinister. I'll get the call like, hey, we're doing it. Come on. And I'm like, all right, all right. Give me a second. I'll be there.
I usually try to get them to get a slot. The most recent one I've been doing with is...
Which one?
What was the group that helped me with... Warren.
Ooh.
You guys remember Warren from
Warren is awesome.
GCX?
Yeah, absolutely.
Which, by the way, he's officially cancer-free. He messaged me like last week, so he fully recovered, which is great. I think he's in remission.
Ooh, man. What was his name? It was Buff 32 was his thing, right? It was
Buff.
Buff 32, salute. Right. Salute, man, if you listen, man. Congratulations, bro. That is huge.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know if he's watching right now, but he's been
cool, dude.
My Sherpa for a lot of this, or at least my organizer, because he gets the group together. That's the hardest part for me is like get everybody on at the same time every week.
Yeah. Yep. Like, same time. What works? Yep. Same thing. He's he was there. Even we were doing. I made up that drinking game for Destiny. I was making everybody do call out a gun and exotic, and no one. It was fun. We just kept going rotation to get to the red out.
That was last year, right? The year I wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. And this year, and the next year, and all the years you won't be there.
This year, I'm going to be out of the country during GCX.
So yeah, that's true.
That's true.
Yeah. So that was the biggest news from the TWID was the fact that we have that raid. Yeah, so as you can see, there was some contention in Twitter and thoughts and opinions, and we
people
will
flip
just...
It out.
It just feels, a lot of it was that it feels fast. There was speculation. There was pretty much everything we covered. I saw most of it through the replies, the thoughts.
Who I'm nosy. I was such a, who's the, like, somebody I know that's
I don't remember the names. You'd have to go look through my Twitter, but like,
I gotta check.
It's more the idea that I just saw the spectrum of, hey, it's too fast. It's probably related to the narrative that all that stuff came up. It was just, I was surprised because I expected the 10 days, just it had been their window. They'll still probably do 48 hours for contest, but that first week is going to be a little crazy. They're doing a little bit of clan updates, so Hawthorne's going to have a reputation system.
Yeah.
A little bit there, so you get raid banners sold from Hawthorne cost less. First clan bounty completed each week grants an exotic engram.
Mm-hmm.
Can I have one thing, though? I will be happy if we do get a D3 at some point, because right now exotics feel zero special. Most exotics have... We know exactly what they are before they come out. You're swimming exotic engrams by doing 3 Vanguard. I mean, I know we're a far cry from D1, but running 3 strikes and getting a Vanguard, 3 Vanguard strikes and getting an exotic engram, I'm going, they do feel less special now. I have thoughts.
Play the game, guys. Rookies, come on.
Yeah, raid rotator. But I mean, that's also one of those things you got to do when you're 10 years into a franchise.
Yeah.
Raid rotator challenges grant spoils of conquest. Trials wins grant trials reputation. Earn bonus crafted weapon XP from completing ritual playlist activities. And then completing all clan challenges in a week grants an ascendant alloy.
Okay.
So if your clan does its stuff, you'll be getting a little in-game benefit. So probably a reason to jump back into clan. Hopefully you got some people who play.
Mm-hmm.
Fireteam Finder moving out of beta. I'm actually surprised this is an official thing. I feel like it works anyway, so you may as well just make it official, so they are.
Mm-hmm.
Into the Light. Okay. I have thoughts about this, so does somebody else want to read it?
All right, Into the Light, year 10, Destiny 2, Into the Light. We've introduced a variety of activities and rewards to celebrate the lead up to the final shape. This includes a blend of limited time content with activities and rewards that will continue to be available to players after the event ends. We'd like to give you a full breakdown of the content leading to the final shape. So, limited time activities and rewards. And again, these are content that will only be available during Destiny 2 Into the Light. And then they talk about Pantheon activity and emblems. So Pantheon is our raid boss gauntlet. They'll be available from April 30th to June 3rd. Talk about what they wanted to create as far as the challenge, blah, blah, blah. Pantheon will offer a chance to earn a variety of emblems, similar to the limited time emblems we made available in past content raids. We talked about Sparrow last week. We expect the exclusivity of these emblems to make them highly sought after. We've been thrilled to see the response to the reveal of our Pantheon, and no players are eager to jump in and play. And then, okay, so they talk about that. They talk about Into the Light and Pantheon Sealing title, the Godslayer title, which we did talk about, and Triumphs. Then they talk about, okay, Brave Arsenal, limited edition variants.
Yep,
as we previously mentioned. Yep, The Shining. They'll also be available. Hall of Champions and Associated Quests. The Hall of Champions associated content, such as the, oh, it's the Shaxx's robot, right? The 9940 guy.
Arcite.
Yeah, Arcite, sorry. Armor Quest Entombment will no longer be available after June 3rd.
Ding, okay, ding, ding. There's the one.
Got it.
So everything okay, above that, yeah. I was like, okay, fine. So you have a limited time, seals, emblems, as they said, just like contest mode. They've done it before. I already said about the shinies, they're a limited thing. You could take or leave them, but they've just decided to do it. I honestly wanted to just basically say, it feels like they're making more work than they need to. It feels like the Hall of Champions is something they just created. Right. And they've got the focusing in there for the Onslaught activity and the Brave Arsenal. The focusing is going away. They'll probably bring that back at some point. The Super Black Shader is going away. They'll probably bring that back at some point, but this could be months or years, the way they do things. And it's all just sitting there, and it works right now. And for whatever reason, on June 3rd, they feel like, nope, it's gone. Outside of engagement numbers to please play right now, which is the only reason you would do this, it feels like they're taking away an entire area that works. It's kind of cool. It's got some memes in it and all that stuff to go. And then they're going to put it back in the game later in a different way that they don't need to do. It just seems like more work than they need to do. That's all I'm saying. So Travis is shaking his head. He has a thought on it. What's up?
They're just going to bring it back, man. It's not a loss. It's not like they're building all this and never going to use it again.
But why even take it out of the game? Why go through the effort of like removing it and then bringing it back later? It's not like they're doing a lighting engine update or something.
They can bring it back better. Maybe it doesn't fit in the game. Maybe they want to make their game leaner. Maybe their files are too big and they're trying to make the game run faster because they're adding stuff. There could be a million reasons, but
I mean, if they put a postmaster and a vault in wherever they put it later on,
vault, which is interesting. Yeah. I hate that it doesn't have a vault.
Yeah, postmaster and a vault, wherever it goes later, fine.
There's already enough stuff in the game that they don't use that I wonder why it's in the game, like the farm, you know? And it's just like the farm is still there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like there's just enough stuff in the game already. I'm not take it out, put it back when you know you bring this event back inevitably for some other reason. So,
I mean, the armor's leaving, the Super Black Shader's leaving, then that stuff's gonna end up in Eververse for like $40 or something.
No, I get you on the attunement. I'm with you there.
I think the attunement is the one that's annoying because like if you want to focus something right now, if you don't get it, you're just going to go back to RNG. Yeah, it's...
And if you continue to be unlucky all the way to June 3rd, then, yeah, you're just, oh, well. Right? They just oh, well in you on that one. So I get that part, but to Travis's point, I do understand.
This is what you asked for. You've been asking for years.
This is...
Community.
We're going to give it to you. You know what it shows me, though? Because the opening paragraph still is consistent with my theory about narrative, which is weird. They're making all this content that they're going to scrap away for a little bit, which is extra work, but they still keeping with the theme of we want it to narratively make sense. Shaxx has given us these powerful, the most banned weapons in our fight with the Witness, and then the Witness comes and the expansion drops and this is gone. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
again,
they mentioned there were planning for Weapon Attunement to return in a new form sometime during Echoes. That's the first episode.
Yes.
So it's just
It'll probably not be that space, though. It's just going to be attunement for the seasonal.
Yeah, you'll probably just go up to Shaxx. They'll have another page or something, maybe select it. They're not going to have those, like,
it'll be a
12
new character.
Statues.
It'll be somebody in the mobile base, whatever that's called.
The Helm.
The name of the Helm. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. They are creating work for themselves. But
yeah, it's like, even if you just take it out and then you rehash it to Shaxx later, I'm like, it's just there and it functions. Kind of cool looking. Doesn't hurt anything.
Well, they keep it Onslaught, though, right? Is it Onslaught?
Onslaught's going
into
the Vanguard playlist. Yeah.
To the Vanguard, right.
They better keep Legend. They better keep all the difficulties because I'll be curious how that all plays. But it's all in a system that works. Into the Light could just sit there, but no, poof, just everything's got to go. It's just, it's a weird thing. And I know maybe the Witness narrative is something bigger than we all know, but I'm very curious to see. This is just added onto the pile of I'm curious to see how all of these little events in about a week play out, because
it all goes down to this. All chips on the table. They know they gotta nail it.
Table stakes.
That's it, man. Table stakes. They got to do it, man. Whether they succeed or not is another thing. But they are all indications or they understand the importance of this narrative, and it better hit. It better. So we can't have any inconsistencies. We can't have Shaq's in there talking about something to prepare for something that we already about to be playing. They going all out, man.
I appreciate the fact that they really try to tie narrative to so much in this game. Every so often it does get to be a little excessively in the way of like just functionality. I appreciate that they generally try, though, even if it's a little corny sometimes. That
again, we're assuming it's because of narrative.
Right.
Yeah, of course.
We will see. Could be. Again, if they're trying to lower the
chance that they didn't want the game to take 5 minutes to load into an
activity. That could be very well the technical answer. That could very
also,
well be.
Even if they imply that it's a story-based reason, that could just be them giving a story-based reason.
Based reason for a technical issue.
Regardless. Yeah, exactly.
That could very well
be. I would
remove the tower, and then you just have little clickable dot matrix menus. You can go to Shaq's.
I would love that.
And click to your... You can pick up your bounties. You can have your attunements. And it's all just this one
love
little
that.
Menu.
I'm sick of running through hallways.
No, I hate going to the tower. Like, I would be okay with that.
Tower sucks.
Or like a little drop zone right next to St. 14, please.
Yeah. Yeah, or how about one next to Ikora? There's no good way to get to Ikora.
It's
go through the world's worst series of stairwells, or you walk through the longest
go pet the dog on
ever
the way.
Devised. It's literally a Sophie's choice. Sometimes I'm like, do I want to be kicked in the balls or punched in the throat? Like, that's basically what I have to ask myself when I need to go to Ikora. It's terrible.
Yeah, they drop you all the way by that leg.
Travis, using Sophie's choice for equating which direction to go in a video game. Definitely valid. 100%. Yeah. Great choice there.
And to Travis' point, he could be very right about space. Because remember, Final Shape, we finally get the 100 extra slots for, they finally have to incorporate that. Remember that? Ooh, you're not hype. You're not hype for that 100?
100 more things to delete.
Your vault. What's your vault looking like these days, Trav? What's that vault looking like? Are you a hoarder? What are you?
No, my vault has a couple things in it in case I need infusion.
What's that number looking like? If you had to guess it out of the five, what is it? 500.
I want to see a day
slots?
One raider. I want to see a day one raider that goes in with just 4 to 5 weapons and armor in each slot and an empty vault. I want to see that person.
I probably use like 200 slots.
All right, you got about 200. That's... So what constitutes Travis keeping?
Is it more exotics or weapons?
It's like no exotics. I mean, there's really no reason to keep an exotic. You can just get it at any time and infuse it.
But I'm curious. I need to know the Travis reason for a gun not. I would think you would have like I vault size is small, 200. But I'm curious, like what makes you keep something?
If it is still in the current meta, masterworked,
okay,
has a great role that I care about, I'll keep it.
There is emotional attachment for this man.
If it's a crafted weapon that, you know, I would have to do 330 levels of leveling up to get it back, and there's some exotics that fall into that category, I'll keep it because it's out of practicality. You don't want to vault it. I just delete everything else. Like, I'm very not attached to anything. I delete like pretty much all my armor. I don't there's also, really no armor more than like 2 different armor pieces or whatever. And then the only thing I keep is whatever the current level is. I'll keep like 10 random pieces of armor
infusion.
Or at the max light just for infusion. That's literally it. That's it.
I feel it.
It's pretty lean, dude. It's pretty lean.
Any ships, any sparrows, and
no
cosmetics.
You don't need cosmetics.
No, no. Some people keep some of the. I know some people. Well, me.
I was like, who?
That the raid stuff. Like, so you know, they have that extra slot that'll have raid functionality. Remember when they came out?
Do you ever use that?
Never. But
I have
the heart to delete it. Cosmetic items, said Cog.
I'm very guilty as charged.
No, I'm like, do you have a ship, a sparrow, or any of that?
Yeah, the one that the dawning one that gives you the extra.
That's fine. Keep it on your character.
No, but I got mad shit. I got ships that match every outfit for every subclass.
Oh, Jesus, you care too much.
No, it's a thing. It's fashion destiny. It's destiny. That's what we do.
This is why I don't raid with you. I'll be like, all right, talk to you guys in 2 hours.
I'm mad that what was it when we asked for when you press one button and it has the loadout?
Loadout?
Yeah. I'm mad that that doesn't include the sparrow in the ship and the emblem. Like, it's a drip that I got to have my emblem match my strand. And then I got to have the hoverboard match the outfit. And I got to have the ship with the shape. It's a thing. They got to fix that. They got to get that together, y'all. I'm going to put that in the
notes. You are overcompensating for your character's doubtless hideous face beneath that helmet.
Don't hate, we warlocks drip out here.
If you really think your warlocks drip, take off the helmet. Show me the face.
We can't do those early D2.
If you
get to change your face soon.
Flag,
those early D2 graphics, bro. We ain't.
If you're gonna walk the catwalk, Cog, I need to see that pout. Okay. And
we running a masquerade out here. No one's gonna know our activities.
That's a great answer. I'm running a masquerade.
Yeah. I love it.
The models on this catwalk are anonymous.
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane. Oh yeah. I thought everybody did that.
No.
I could care less if I look like crayons throw up on me.
So you don't change your emblems ever? Y'all rock the same.
No, I change emblems ever. I literally just mostly, like, if I solo flawless a dungeon, that usually hangs on my character. If I did the contest raid, then that's probably what hangs around. It's usually one. It's an accomplishment that bumps out another one, and that is it.
All right. So what about the ship? Like, when you did Whisper, right? I'm assuming you kept the Whisper ship, that one, right?
I mean, I have it, but I've rotated through some cool ships. Like,
oh, you change ships? Okay.
I don't do it when I don't switch. Like, no, nothing like
that. I have on me.
I just literally, I was like, whatever ship, I'm like, oh, that one's kind of cool. I'll switch to that one for a while. And then I'll forget about my ship. I was like, I have one hoverboard now. That's it.
I couldn't even tell you what ship I have on me. I have not changed my emblem in like 5 years because
Walmart Guardians out here. Y'all really out here with the bargain
movie of the week, so nobody can talk to me. I'm just like, that's my emblem.
It's depressing. I gotta work with y'all. Warlocks gotta work.
How many solo flawless emblems do you have?
All right, see, why you gotta go all in?
I put on the emblems that matter, or you know,
I got one flawless emblem. I got one. And I stay here with pride, baby. I did that with randoms. I recorded it on my Xbox recording.
That wasn't even solo flawless. Yeah, that's just flawless.
Respect. Yeah, I'm ridiculous. I love it. That's another reason. My other endgame.
I would never change a ship. If I look at a ship, I go through shaders until one looks good on that ship, and I never change that ship. I'm not going to change a ship to match a sparrow, to match an emblem, to match my armor. No way in hell am I doing all that work.
Do you change your title? What about your titles?
No, generally. Unless I get
what title? What is the title you evolved this character's running with in Destiny? What is the title?
I'm trying to remember because it's one that like I don't even think you can get now.
That'd
I'm trying
be something
to remember
you could
the name
be proud
of.
Yeah, from the old one.
It's not Glorious like it's not something. That proud. I mean, there's the one from doing the GMs, which is fine, but everybody's pretty much got that one. I think the one that I like to put on just for fun is the one from the Dreaming City, and I forget what it's called. Curse Breaker. It's
Petra's
the one where you go around. Not Petra's. No, not Petra's. Raid Run. It's Curse Breaker for doing everything on the Dreaming
all
City.
The thing in the, yeah.
And I don't think you can actually get that one now.
Yeah. Everybody, put your title up in the chat. What you running with, I'm curious, Trav.
Flawless, I think, usually.
I knew you was going to rock that Flawless.
Yeah, I mean, if Blacksmith or Shadow, if I ever would have gotten one of those. If I would have gotten
Blacksmith,
I was like, Shadow's another good one. Godslayer will be probably one of the best if you can get one.
Prescott with that dead ass, and it's the Dream Warrior.
I'm
sorry, what'd you say, Trav?
I don't know why I put Savior on, but I've had Savior for a while, I think.
Oh, Savior. All right.
I don't change it very often. Dude, I didn't even go into, you know how you meditate at the tree to level up? I didn't even do that. I was like levels behind. I just didn't even bother. I was like, nah, who cares?
No, you want to know what? I finally got up to like level 10 thanks to Onslaught because I'm actually playing with other people. No, you're leveling your guardian ranks.
Oh, the level. Wait,
I was
you don't
stuck
even go to
at
guardian
nine because I do everything by myself. Nobody ever gives me commendations.
No, that's the thing.
Is like if I'm farming or recording or if I'm like working on a dungeon.
Commendation requirements because you don't play with people.
I don't have enough commendations.
Ivantis has the weirdest flexes I've ever heard in Destiny. He's
I'm
like,
not
dude, I don't
flexing
have any friends,
on this.
Okay, I'm elite. All right, I've got
never, literally, have never. No, it is frustrating because I usually because I'll go play some Iron Banner if I'm going to grind stuff out. I'll play a little bit of Crucible early in the season, but I don't like just live in Crucible, and I'm typically not doing strikes for no reason.
So I was just about to say, you gotta do with blueberries sometime. You don't give commendations after the strikes.
No,
you don't
I
do commendations
no,
after trial solo.
I try to.
They don't give him commendations.
Half the time people leave. I try and give. If there are people in an activity, I try and give a commendation to every single person I can.
Okay, all right.
Hey, Cog.
But it just
you want to hear the commendation I get constantly, unless I'm playing PvP.
I get best dressed a lot, actually. So
I get best dressed all the time. What you get?
I get best dressed all the time.
Yeah. All the time. Facts.
And I put zero effort into my outfit. haven't changed it in like 7 years.
No,
I have like
the
same outfit.
But what annoys me about Guardian ranks is because I don't do enough to get the commendations up to like 900. Then I was stuck at level 9, and finally I was just like, I don't care if I'm going to like, hey, here's a dungeon. Here's my guide to solo flawless a dungeon, or I'm going to go through and make a guide on a dungeon. That is a lot of what I do, is playing by myself.
Yeah,
so if I get stuck, not a flex. It's an annoyance.
It is a flex.
Not a flex.
Because he's like, look, I don't even have time for that combination.
No, you don't get to decide if it's a flex.
It's not, no, I actually do, because the flex would be fun.
No,
you
don't.
This is not a flex. It has been a frustration because I got to Guardian rank 9. I'm like, I would be 11 because I do everything else, but I'm sitting here at 9 because I don't have the friggin' commendations. It's annoying.
This guy. So you haven't been raiding, though. That means you still haven't been raided because you need to get them blues after the raids.
Oh, I know. The fact that I got up to 9 this season was from Onslaught. Now that I'm at 10, to get to 11, I would have to raid. So, yeah, that's probably not going to happen.
All right. Did you do the Crota, the Oversouls, and all that? You did all that?
No, I haven't done that.
Ah, that's why. Yeah, that will get it.
So behind.
Yeah.
I'm quite behind.
I got the catalyst.
Now, like Travis, I'm playing other things, but he's just got more time than me. So
fair enough.
He has no sleep in his schedule. So that
I also don't have, I don't watch movies like you. So this is my.
Ooh.
People ask me this a lot. Hoag is like, dude, I have no idea how you play so many games. And I'm like, this is all I have.
He's like, he doesn't do anything else.
This is it. This is it.
It's like, Travis, did you watch Shogun? Did you watch all the episodes of Shogun? He's like, no, I was playing this. Did you watch? No, I was playing this. It's like,
I'm kind of like Travis like that. I go front. My movie game, it took everything for them to, they threatened me to watch Fallout because they were like, bro, we're going to talk about it on the podcast. Please watch an episode.
You kind
of
have
right.
to. You have to.
Yeah. And then I knew with Maddie coming up, how big a Fallout. I was like, all right.
I ended up
loving it. I'm like, oh, this is great.
Yeah, at least they made you watch a good one.
Not that I don't like TV or movies.
But bro, you review. You got so much.
Yeah. But yeah, I review. I will review.
You got so much good.
So, but yeah, no, I've got all the exotics still. I'm still up on that in the catalyst,
jealous.
I think.
Jealous. Yeah, I don't got the Warlord.
Are you working on your Whisper stuff each week?
Yeah.
No.
I'm doing that. Well, there's no need for you. I mean, it's just, what was it? It's field prep, though. I like field prep on it.
Field prep is a lot of reserves. It's actually pretty good.
Didn't you say I should wait until the end? I did Whisper. I did. Yeah. I got it.
I think if you do the quests, you'll be able to get most of it in one run. Especially if you run with people, you'll be able to probably do it all in one run. Because the blights that you shoot during Legend probably could do them all as you go through. And then if you finish the run in the end, it'll probably proc all of them. So yeah, you'll be able to do them later.
Sounds good.
Zero hours on what'd they say, the 14th or something, I think. So that's like truly the last 3 weeks of the season will be 0 hour, which should be fun because at that point, I think we'll all be pretty tired of Onslaught.
Yes.
At that point. And then that will be the
first week one, dude. Week one.
Oh, I know. You checked out a while ago, but I was just saying for the average, trying to grind for those shinies.
Why are people still playing it? I don't get it.
Shinies.
Oh, engagement is crazy right now.
Okay, so they're doing it for the rewards, not for the fact, like everybody agrees it's boring, right?
It's redundant after a while, of course.
Well, here's the question, though.
I think the defensive stuff is not well designed. Like,
I agree, it needs to be better.
Too much waste.
That was what I said the first
kind of waste
podcast we had. Yeah,
agreed. No, I agree. I have to give you that.
It doesn't feel worthwhile, so it's not enough to really augment the experience.
Do not do trip mines. Skip trip mines.
Yeah, don't ever do trip mines.
Don't ever do trip mines. Decoys and turrets. That's it.
Yes, absolutely.
Do not
even turrets are minimally useful.
You got to get them up to max for a big run. If you get a turret up to max, it'll put in some work, but it's got to get there.
Yeah, and that Shaxx decoy is lit. I go for it. Yeah.
The decoy is decent.
Yeah, because all the big boys go to them. The tormentors go to them.
Yep.
They all, yeah, you could get all, just take care of them that way. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Sinister, yep.
Yeah, and don't spend anything at the beginning either. And that's kind of the thing.
Sinister, I need a ghost at a deep checkpoint, sir. I got to get that navigator. I don't got that one.
I don't have it either. So.
Yeah.
The amount of time I put in that dungeon and still never got a solo Flawless annoys me for the times, because it was a 2-hour run. And I would get to the witch,
yeah, over his body.
Yeah, the wizard, floating over his body. And I know the mechanics, I would go through like 4 or 5 damage phases and some stupid thing would happen. And I finally got to the point where I was like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, I feel you.
And other things came up and I just
need to do Warlord because I need that sidearm. That I don't have that sidearm.
Oh, the bow? Yeah, no, I don't have it either.
No, the sidearm, the one everyone's going crazy about.
It's a crossbow, but it's a sidearm, yes.
I mean, sorry, wrong, not the exotic. Legendary.
Oh, the sidearm sidearm.
Yeah, I don't have that at all. Never dropped.
You got it before us? Yes, whatever it is, you got it before us. Yeah, absolutely did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who's going to go have some food and play some No Rest for the Wicked?
No Rest for the Wicked, right here.
Download
Let's
it.
Let's do it.
Gotta put the codes
I wish I had multiplayer. It doesn't come out with multiplayer until the first update.
Yeah, that's one of the things they're working on.
I forget it's multiplayer.
Yeah, it's an ARPG. It's supposed to be multiplayer, but right
how
now...
How many? Two to two?
I don't four, know.
Four? We going Diablo style.
I mean, yeah, it's an ARPG. Ooh. I don't think they've announced the full details yet, but that would be my guess. It is part of the update. They have the roadmap of like the next 4 updates before presumably it starts to get ready to leave early access. Yeah. But
also, one other thing I saw people were getting into.
It feels pretty fleshed out.
But I'm not in it yet, but I signed up to try and get in the Hades 2 technical test.
Yeah, me too.
Oh man, I want to play that too.
Yeah,
Hades 1 is one of the best games I've ever played. Yeah, so if it can
song.
Get. Oh, I know. Like the music,
it's
super
so
giant.
Good.
But like the music in Hades was another level, pretty much. But no, just the loop of how it goes, and just so much was polished about that game. But if you look up, they did a stream about Hades 2, and the technical test will slowly roll out. It looks like, because she's a different character, she's definitely good. It's going to be a little different, it looks like. I didn't want to watch it all. I kind of want to play it myself, but man, I want that. Like, Hades 2, they're probably going to be like, oh, you're in the technical test as I go on vacation. Damn it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see, but. All right. Yeah. Well, thank you, everybody, for hanging out today. We should have a guest next week. Returning guest, so you'll know him when he's here. Should Eddie. Be interesting. And you guys got anything else you want to say? Any highlights coming up?
I have one thing to say before we go.
Let's go.
Yes,
sir. I'm going to be doing an episode of Fireteam Chat tomorrow with Destin Legere and Paul Tassi.
Hey,
let's go. I love it.
So episode look 302. For that episode to go live sometime tomorrow. And Guardians out.
Nice. The boys are back. I get to see Tassi and Trav go at it. That'd be fun.
Oh my God.
What take does he have now that you're annoyed with? Yeah, what take does he have now that you're annoyed with?
You know, I'm actually not annoyed by it because it's just been reliable. Like, now when I see a Tassi take, I just assume, like, okay, whatever he says, it's probably the opposite. Like, just kind of. Just kind of
love it.
It is funny, though. I mean, his perspective is cool because he's just such a different player than me. But, yeah, I don't. It'll be nice to hang out with them.
It'll be fun. Yeah. Oh, that's dope, man. I can't look forward to. Gotta check that out. Get the boys back on FTC. Salute. Yeah, nothing else really going for me. Just planning a lot of traveling and a bunch of games, and then getting ready for I gotta get the stuff done this month because I'm getting ready for Hellblade, man. I'm a Hellblade guy, so I'm getting ready
Hell
for that.
Yeah.
Month. Like that's a. Stream it in 2 days kind of game, but that'll be...
Yeah, I need that. I just need to hit all my...
Only thing about... The only reason I would wait on that one is, for me, personally, is because I'm waiting to kind of let the OLED monitors drop.
Oh,
and I want the 32-inch 4K OLED. I've got a 32-inch 4K, but I want the OLED to... And I know this is like...
When those drop?
Some are out now.
Okay.
But I kind of want all of them to drop and to kind of let somebody review... All of them to figure out kind of where they are.
Yeah.
It's kind of between the QD OLED and WOLED and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit of they're all going to be good. It's like, what's your kind of final preference thing? But I just kind of want them all to be out there. So
yeah.
That would be the only reason I'd wait because it would just look that much better.
Yeah,
because it's gonna be visually fantastic.
Oh, bro, and your setup is gonna be sick.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And well, probably run Crota again this week because I'm like 28 of 30 oversouls. I got the catalyst, but it's gotta finish off the damn oversouls. They keep making me run this damn raid, and they cheat with the damn oversouls.
I got that thing to drop that just auto completes the catalyst.
Finish. You got the 35 to drop. Yeah, you never thought you told me that.
I hate that. That's that streamer loot stuff.
Yes, Travis,
honestly, that was like a boon of like if Bungie did it on purpose, they were like, we really want him to go into the final shape with like the most happy eyes possible and not have to play this raid a whole bunch. So
you know,
to be clear though, I did grind all the way up and got the to drop and then started like the very beginning of getting the catalyst, and then that's when it happened. So it's not like I just got it away.
And that catalyst thing is weird. You gotta get the knights to spawn out, and you gotta find knights in this short amount of time during these encounters. You ever did this thing? It's weird.
No,
I've never seen a catalyst thing like this.
You have to do that part before you complete
the catalyst. Like they spawn in weird places, they hide, and then you gotta have people call them, all right, they're over here, and then only certain people can attack them. It's weird. It's a weird catalyst thing, but we finally got it done, and now I just gotta get the damn oversouls. But yeah. That'll be that. And then I'll be done with that one.
Cool.
Yeah,
I'll see you guys next week.
Yeah, I'll be working on my review for Tales of Kinzera's Isle, so look forward to that one.
No Rest for the Wicked too?
I'm gonna try. So
I guess it's already out, so you're not that incentivized, huh?
Yeah, I was like, I'm probably actually what I will do, depending on if I can get enough time, I might do a tips video if people want to do that one to kind of jump in for how combat and kind of a starter guide for that one, and then Zao, and then I might do, once I get more time before I leave, I might try and get a review done, but trying to figure out what I'll schedule while I'm gone, too, for content. So it's kind of weird, but we'll see.
Sounds good.
All right, well, gentlemen, chats, everybody. And fun. It's been a little goofy before, and also thanks for putting up with the movie talk, but we enjoy all forms of media here. And count down the days here, episode 293. Yeah. I don't know where 300 is going to fall. We are trying. We'll see. We're barely going to be able to take time away to do a podcast on that Thursday now that the raid's going to be the next day. It's going to be a 30-minute podcast. Oh. How's the campaign? Thumbs up, thumbs down. Are you guys, how's your loot going? Thumbs up, thumbs down. Are you guys ready for the raid? Thumbs down. Okay, get back to it. See ya. That's going to be the podcast on the Thursday the 6th.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough because he's got to be reviewing.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to be in LA. That's going to be a tough one.
We might have to skip that one. If you're going to be in LA, it might be a good skip.
I will see how the hotel internet would, but
I mean, honestly, like we probably should just be playing, not podcasting.
Yeah, because we got to grind for that raid.
So 300 will probably be the week after. And then if or depending on how things go.
Yeah.
Because I'll see if you guys run a podcast when I'm gone for that week. But if we don't do that one and we don't do that one, 300 would be with that prospective guest.
Comeback. Oh, okay.
That might work.
Options.
We'll see.
That might work. We'll see.
Do we have a pool for podcast length for this show? You guys could probably guess on the start of it because this is a shorter one still.
Yes.
All right. On that episode, or on that note, I should say, this is the end of the episode. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you, chat. Thank you, Three Geeks, for the super chat. And I believe there was one more earlier. If I missed it, I'm sorry. But thank you guys for the support and the love. And we will see you guys very, very soon. Probably next week, because after that, I'll be out of town.
Oh, I haven't heard that in a minute. That's been a minute.
So for this episode, it has been
The Last Word.